Amen. Lord, we thank you that we can all gather together today. Amen. Thank you that you are the living and speaking God. And Lord, your words are powerful, living, and effective. Amen. And Lord, we pray that you save us from being dull of hearing. Yes. Lord, that we would take your words and your warning seriously. Amen. We don't want to just be passive listeners, but Lord, we want to take action. Lord, we want to fully cooperate with you, yes, especially as the end draws near.
Amen.
Oh Lord, thank you that you have destined us for so much.
Yeah.
Lord, we don't, and you have done so much for us. We don't want to take it for granted.
Amen.
Lord, give us all a seeking and open heart this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 to 18. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without
spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.
Amen. This is the, I guess, second last meeting of the conference. And, you know, it's really wonderful to see that how the Lord is so patient and merciful with us to give us all these warnings and everything we need to reach the goal.
Amen.
And he's still speaking to us, and he wants us to make it. And the problem is not that the Lord hasn't done enough, but the problem is ourselves. You know, we've heard so much over all these years, and we know so much. And I don't think what I'm sharing this morning is anything new. And the problem is, many times people, many of us, we want to hear new things. We want new interpretations. We want to learn more. But the problem is, many of the things that we already know, we don't practice, or we haven't perfected it, or, you know, we just like to listen, but there hasn't been much change in many of us. And this is why the Lord needs to keep reminding us over and over, you know, just to show us. And I hope that the words in 2 Peter can really make a deep impression on all of us, you know, that there would be a real change in each one of us. You know, we can't continue the same way that we've been for so long. And I really like how this section starts off. It says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things. You know, what are we looking forward to? In the previous verse, it says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And I think if you've been paying attention, I think you must have noticed that there's so much unrighteousness in this world. You know, there's no justice. Everything is just going upside down. It's just a mess everywhere you go. the situation in the world is getting worse and worse. And you know, many people, what they do in response is they might protest, they might become activists or do something. And you know, there's really no way for us to change this world. People think they can change the world. Everybody wants to change the world. But there's no way we can change it because it's so corrupted. It's corrupted to the core. And it's in the hands of the evil one. So what can you do? The only solution is to replace it, to get rid of it, right? To, like it says here in chapter 3, to dissolve it. It has to be judged. And what do? You burn it up, right? And then the replacement is a new heaven and new earth where righteousness dwells. This is our only hope, when the Lord Jesus himself, the glorious King, is the one ruling and we're ruling together with him. That is the only solution. That is the only hope we have. So when we look at the world situation, don't get discouraged. Don't feel hopeless. We need to have hope because the Lord is going to solve it all. You know, he's the solution. And this is why Peter says, we look forward to these things. And I hope we are all looking forward to this. You know, this has to be our hope. You know, people look forward to a lot of things. They look forward to their next vacation or graduation or something, you know, but those things eventually they come and go, you know. But this is eternal. This is really what we need to look forward to. And this has to give us hope. I can't see how anybody can feel hopeless or feel depressed when we have such a hope ahead of us, you know, that the Lord will achieve this. And there will be righteousness one day. So because of this, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. So it's not just the world's going to change, but now we have to change as well, right? This is very much connected to us. What happens is very much connected, because Jesus isn't just coming back to rule over the world, the earth, on his own. He wants us to be a part of it. He wants us to sit on the throne with him and rule. But there is a condition. It says we have to be without spot and blameless, because the kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. So how can the rulers of the kingdom be unrighteous? It can't be. Right? So if the kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness, the King of Kings is righteous, then the co-kings must certainly be righteous, right? It makes sense. But the problem is we aren't there yet. But throughout 2 Peter, we've seen that he wants to bring us to that point, and it is possible. Right? Everything is done. We just need to cooperate with him. And it says here, be diligent to be found by him. And this word found, I looked into it a little bit. It means upon inspection. It's like when one day we're going to be standing before him at the judgment seat. And it's like he's inspecting us. You know, it's like if you go to the supermarket, let's say you're going to buy an orange. You're going to look it over carefully. You're going to look for any brown spots or any blemishes, right? You're looking over it. So what will the Lord find when he inspects us? Will he find us being without spot and blameless? When he digs into you, when he looks into your heart, what will he find? Will there be any secrets, hidden dark things in there? What's he going to find? I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll think about what it'll be like to stand before the Lord at the judgment seat. And I can tell you, it must be pretty scary, you know. Just this experience of coming here, it was a little scary. You know, I don't know if any... anybody in you know, on Zoom realizes this, but right now, to, I'm sure you know because you probably also wanted to come here, but to enter the U.S., you need to be fully vaccinated, right? And many times they will ask you the question, are you vaccinated? If no, you can't go in. And this time we decided to take a chance. So we decided, okay, let's try to drive across the border and see what happens, because we've heard that they don't always ask, because they can't imagine that there are unvaccinated people out there. 90%+ of people entering the border are vaccinated. So why would there be unvaccinated people? So sometimes they don't ask the question. But it's kind of like an inspection. You're going to the border and the border officer is asking questions. And it was actually kind of nerve-wracking, because you're being inspected by the border agent. You're hoping he doesn't ask the question. He asked questions like, "Are we? Where are you going? When are you going home? What are you doing there?" Okay, all right. Please don't ask the that question. So it's just this person, just this short event, and this questioning. He's checking. Why are you going into the U.S. illegitimately? Are you doing something you're not supposed to do, or something illegal? Are you bringing in drugs or guns or something, you know? He's asking, he's inspecting. And just this, crossing an international border, I was so nervous. I think all of us in the car, we were nervous. And then when he finally said, okay, you can go, we were like, yes. We were so happy about that. You know, we passed the inspection. We passed the inspection, right? But imagine you're standing in front of the judge of this universe, and he's inspecting you. He's going to ask more than just three questions. He's going to check everything, even every word that we've ever said, every thought. Everything will be inspected. He's checking. He wants to make sure that what he's getting is a good one, whatever he's purchased, right? The fruit, like you're in the supermarket. He wants to make sure it's good quality. And, you know, and here it says that to be found in peace. In verse 14, it says to be found in peace. That means at the inspection, the judgment, you have peace and confidence. That word peace implies confidence. You're confident at the judgment. You're so sure. Why? Because during this time now, you've been diligent to pursue holiness. You've been diligent to purge out the leaven, the darkness in your heart, the hidden sins. You've worked hard at it. You've cooperated with the Lord. You've disciplined yourself. You trained yourself. You know, in 1 John chapter 4, it says, I was reminded of this. Chapter 4, verse 17, it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. So as he is in his righteousness, in his holiness, in his purity, today we are already practicing and walking in that. So if we keep that up, we're walking with the Lord and we're living by Christ. You know, we have this love for him. We're growing in our love for him and knowing him. Then certainly, when we stand before him, it's not like meeting a stranger. We know him already. You're meeting your beloved. You've known him for so many years. You're meeting a familiar face when you stand at the judgment. So you have this confidence when you stand before him. But today, my knowledge of him is so lacking. So when I stand before him, I don't know what he's going to ask. Just like when we cross the border, we don't know what he's going to ask. We don't know what the criteria for inspection is. We don't know what to expect, so we're nervous. Oh, what is he going to ask this or that? But because we know him already, know Christ, then we can be found by him in this peace and confidence. We know what he's going to, what his criteria is. We know that we're going to pass because we've known him, grown in our knowledge of him all these years. Right? And this doesn't just come by sitting in a meeting listening and once a Sunday, you know, it's from a daily walk with him. You know, by this diligence in pursuing him. So this little sentence is so meaningful, you know, to be found by him in peace, to have the confidence to stand before him without spot and wrinkle. And we look forward to it. You know, today, if we're not looking forward to meeting our judge, who looks forward to meeting a judge? Nobody looks forward to that. But because of our love, that's why 1 John chapter 4, it talks about love in connection to the judgment. Whoever, why would anybody connect love with judgment? It doesn't work. If you're caught for speeding and you have to go to the courthouse to meet the judge, you don't love the judge. You're afraid of him and you want to get out of there. Right? But for us, we want to spend eternity. We want to be with the Lord. You know, he is our judge. He's the king, but he's also our beloved. You know, so there's definitely, but where did that come from? It doesn't come automatically. It comes from this growing in the knowledge of him. In verse 15, it says, consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Our Lord is so long suffering towards us. You know, he is so patient with us. I saw this, I was reminded of Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. I think it's this one, or no, wait, that's one of them, but there's another one that I was thinking of. It's in Nehemiah. I don't know why I can't. Ezra and Nehemiah. Okay, chapter 9. Verse 17. It says, they, referring to the Israelites, they refused to obey. They were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them, but they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion they appointed a leader to return to their bondage to Egypt. But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. Even when they made a molded calf for themselves and said, this is your God that brought you out of Egypt, and worked great provocations, yet in your manifold mercies you did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud did not depart from them by day to lead them on the road, nor the pillar of fire by night to show them the light and the way they should go. And so the Lord never gave up on the Israelites, even though they were so rebellious. He didn't just say, forget all of you, never mind, but he brought them all the way. He kept his promise. He is so long-suffering. And this long-suffering, it's a good thing he's long-suffering with us because we are so rebellious. We're so disobedient. And this is our salvation, that the Lord is so patient, working with us, loving us, nurturing us, right? Even when we're rebellious, when we're not faithful, he is still faithful toward us and to himself. And continuing on, it says here, and consider that, okay, that also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him as written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking of them, in them of these things. So not just Peter, Paul is also talking about it. So lots of reminders, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do the rest of the scriptures. And this is, I think, just over the years, we have definitely met, well, not just others, even ourselves, we can be very unstable. Untaught doesn't mean that you didn't attend Bible school. It refers to how there's a lack of understanding, spiritual understanding. And people like to cherry pick, pick and choose what they like from the Word. And then depending on their mood or what they prefer, they'll twist the meaning to suit what they like. And this causes destruction. It causes us to go the wrong path. And you know, it's very easy for people to be unstable. Even ourselves, you know, sometimes we're in a good mood, sometimes we're in a bad mood. You know, sometimes in life things are going well, sometimes they're not. And we just go up and down in our relationship with the Lord. When things are going well, we're following the Lord closely. When there's trouble, we blame the Lord or whatever, right? There's all sorts of, we're not steady, we're not steadfast and stable. And when we're not stable, it's very easy to, maybe we heard something in the Word. Maybe a brother or a sister shared something with us and we don't like what we heard. So we will, in our mind, we'll change the meaning. We'll say, no, I don't agree with that. It may actually be the Lord speaking to you, but you don't like what you hear, so you will say, no, I don't think that's what it means. I think it means something else. And that opportunity for us to grow or to change was missed. We've twisted the Word. It's not, yes, it means, it can refer to other people who twist the Word, but if we're not careful and we're unstable ourselves, we're not steadfast in the Lord, we can also inadvertently misuse the Word and twist the meaning. People like to hear things that they like. They like to hear easy and comfortable words. And sometimes when the Word convicts us, we think people are using the Word against us. We think somebody, so-and-so, is speaking against me. We think Satan can use that to condemn us also. And because of that, we will try to ignore or willfully forget, right? Where's Emery? Willfully forget. Right? We try to ignore. We don't want to hear that. And that leads us to our own destruction. Right? And this again is a problem because there's so many times the Word talks about being diligent, to be steadfast, to endure, to persevere. But it's so easy for ourselves because of the situations in life and the trials we go through that we become unstable. And that's a sign of a lack of maturity also. If we're so easily affected by circumstances and situations and even our own emotions, that's a sign that there's a lack of maturity. There's a well-known parable where Jesus spoke about building on the rock. Right? This is what we need. We need stability. We need to keep staying the course in our walk with the Lord. Right? Not easily affected by circumstances around us, by other people, by our own thoughts and feelings. Right? It's very dangerous if we're not careful. And this is why it says, you therefore, since you know all this beforehand. Isn't that true? There's so many things we know already. I don't think any of us here is a new Christian. Many of us, we've been believers for years. Some of us, decades. We know so many things. And the things that, like I said, the things that we're talking about now, that I'm talking about, the things that we've heard in this conference and past conferences, most of the things, they're not new. But we know all these things, but what do we do with it? That's the question. Even the Lord said, there was a verse the Lord said in Matthew 24, 25. Matthew 24, 25, he says, "See, I have told you beforehand." So if something doesn't, if we fail the inspection in the future, you can't say, "Lord, you never told me. I didn't know." You cannot say that. You can't say, "Well, the pastor misled me. That this brother or that sister misled me. I didn't know." Well, you have the Word, you have the Spirit, you have the same faith, you have the same everything that we all have. So we can never say, "I didn't know." So here, since you know all this beforehand, beware, be watchful, look out, pay attention. Don't fall asleep, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. You know, I was thinking about this word steadfastness and falling from it. We tend to think, you know, over the years, we've seen many people come and go in the church. A lot of people. Even people who we thought were very strong in the Lord. And then things happened, and then they disappeared. And we tend to think, "Well, I'm still here. I'm still coming to the meetings. So I must be, I'm doing all right." But it made me think that if I'm not progressing, if I'm not increasing, this is also falling from steadfastness. The steadfastness is not just not going backwards, but it's also falling from your progress. If I stop progressing and growing and increasing, and if I look back months later or a year later, have I changed? And I haven't changed. I'm still doing the same thing over and over. I'm still getting upset about the same things. I'm still struggling with the same sins. I still have things I can't overcome. I still love the world the same way, then I haven't made any progress. Then that's not a good thing. Sure, I may be coming to the meetings, I may be coming to the conferences, but if I'm not making progress, there's still something wrong. So don't say, "Well, at least I haven't disappeared like those people." That's a false sense of security. It is false. Because if I continue at my current pace, even though I'm sitting in the chairs here, I still will not pass that inspection in the future. So how I may be a little bit better off because I'm at least exposed to, I'm in a better environment than others, but I'm still not in a good condition. So in a way, I've also fallen away. Maybe not physically, but spiritually, I've stopped running. I've become a standstill. And that is still not acceptable in the long run at the end. Right? So that's why it says you have to beware. Beware means that I have to constantly check my progress. I need to know where I am. I need to know how far away I am from being without spot and blameless and being able to stand at the judgment with confidence. But it says here again, it says being led away with the error of the wicked. You know, I was thinking about this too, and I'm thinking, if somebody is led away with the error of the wicked, let's say I meet a wicked person, and that person's going to lead me away. I will not think that person, I won't purposely go away with a wicked person. Hey, Stefan, you're pretty wicked. I'm going to go with you. No, the reason why I would go follow, be led away is because I think he's good. I think he's better. Nobody would go with somebody who's actually wicked. Most reasonable people. Right? But the reason why people are led away is because they've lost sight of what is actually good. And they've gone away. They got led away because of the flesh and the lust of the flesh, which they've confused and think is actually better. The grass is greener on the other side. That's what people are like. The church life is too restrictive. I can't do what I like. This word wicked also implies lawlessness. It's not just, you know, like murderers and cheaters. It's not like that. But it's people who don't want to be bound by the confines of the Lord's righteousness. They don't want to, they feel like it's too confining. I can't do what I like. My flesh wants to do this, but I can't do it. I don't get the freedom of the flesh. I can't do what my friends are doing. My friends and whoever, they're able to, you know, pursue their careers and make lots of money and do this, and they can go out and have fun. But, you know, their kids have so many other kids to play with, and they can have all these activities and so on. But here I am in the church life. I can't do all the fun things, and you're looking outside where the grass is greener, and you're dreaming about being on the greener pastures, right? So from your perspective, because you've already fallen away, you think that there are greener pastures out there. But, you know, somebody who's actually steadfast and growing in the Lord, what do you see out there in the world? You see it, the darkness for what it is. You'll see the error of the wicked. But if we start falling away, the darkness looks greener and greener. And then you're led away by that. So this word wicked, it means, it really made more sense to me when I realized it's not mean bad people. But it's just simply there's certain people that feel that there's more freedom to do what you want if you're not running this race. I don't want to walk this, the way is too narrow and difficult. I want to relax. You know, so what happens? You fall from your steadfastness and you're led away. And then once you're led away, you feel, yes, I can do what I want. I can enjoy life. And this is something we have to watch out for. That's why he says, beware, beware, watch out. You know, so, but it says, instead, we must grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Right? We must increase in knowing him, knowing the Lord. And that doesn't come just by sitting in the meeting. That comes from our day-to-day walk with him, knowing him, seeking after him. Yeah. So, you know, this is really what will protect us, keep us from falling away. You know, and then we don't have to be worried about the judgment. Right? Just like what John said, we can be confident. We can be found by him in peace. So, you know, we still have a long way to go, but it's not impossible. It is definitely possible, but we just have to be very careful that we are not, that we pay attention to our own condition. All right? Praise the Lord. Yeah. May the Lord continue to speak these words in our heart. Yeah. Meditate on the word and let the Spirit guide us. Amen.
Amen.
Oh,
you missed verse 18.
I did? Oh, I'm ending too fast. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I just want to. Okay, hold on. I thought something seemed a little good. Verse 18.
The last verse.
But grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Yes, that's right. we have to. It speaks for itself. We have to. Well, you know, one of the things I wanted to say about it is that this word "grow" it implies life. Growing always implies life. It's not growing in, it's not getting smarter in the Bible. But it comes with life, which means there's eating and drinking, and it's from spending time with the Lord. And this knowledge of Him isn't knowing about Him, it's knowing Him as a person. And this is also what Colossians chapter 1 mentions as well, that Paul is praying. Colossians chapter 1 in verse 10, it says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. There's no standstill. Everything is growing, increasing, adding, multiplying, right? No subtraction and division. It's adding and multiplying, growing, increasing. You know, and here, increasing in the knowledge of God. You know.
No end to that.
No end. You can't finish knowing Him. Unsearchable riches, right? Yeah. You know, I don't understand how anybody can be just... feel like that's it, right? I've heard it all, I've done it all, and you know, just the more you discover about the Lord, the more you want, you know. It's so if we don't have that attitude, then it indicates that we are not increasing in our knowledge of Him. We're just living off of the past knowledge we may have had a long time ago, and we're not increasing and abounding. And so hopefully the Lord will really fill everything in our life. The grace of the Lord, and the more we know Him, the more we experience His grace. The more grace we have, the easier you'll find the walk is. The more we stick to Him, the more He helps us in our walk. And it actually becomes easier and easier, you know. Maybe the situation may be more difficult. The trials may be more difficult, but you know Him so much more. You know, when I was younger, many things would cause me to worry and get anxious. But through those things, I saw how the Lord carried me through. And so when I went through even more difficult situations later on, I actually felt better than, even though the situation was more difficult, I was less worried, and sometimes not even worried, compared to years ago, because I knew for certain that the Lord is faithful and He's trustworthy. So the grace increased. Right? The problems may increase, but the grace increased even more. Yeah, so this is experience, you know. So then at the end, you will conclude just as Peter does, to Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't say that unless it's by experience, you know. That's why the Christian life is experience.
Yes.
Amen. You can't help but say, to Him be the glory, both now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. This doesn't come by knowledge. This comes by experience.
Amen.
Amen.
And the glory.
really goes to him.
Amen.
Amen.
That to us, to him.